Many individuals fail to cover cuts and bruises with antiseptic bandage, and that's a very important thing to do. Whenever you get a small cut or abrasion, these days with flesh-eating strep, the cocci, and with the CA MRSA, the staphylococcus infection, every single scratch, no matter how small, should be cleaned and covered with an antiseptic applied first, and take it seriously so that it can heal without danger of being a CA MRSA being transmitted. Also, poor hand and body hygiene in general, which is indigenous more to young people than older people,
right,
sets up the stage for this passage of the organism. Certainly in sporting events, you've heard of that football team.
So the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, that had it spread.
My hometown.
And in actuality, the organism is very hardy. It can be spread from towels and other equipment. So here is another point to never share. Sporting equipment, uniforms, towels, etc., with each other, and you have to instruct your children not to do that.
Give us an idea, if you can, Philip, of what this staph infection looks like, how it starts. And let's start from someone who has a cut. Now, in some cases, with a football team, they didn't all have cuts, yet they were coming down with this. So, first of all, you don't then necessarily need some kind of cut or abrasion in order to get this staph infection, do you?
Actually, the organism possesses many enzymes. The organism is said to be highly virulent, and these enzymes allow it to break the skin. They're proteolytic enzymes. The primary constituents of skin are protein, and if you have proteases, they can break the skin.
I see.
And actually enter the skin. And the bottom line here is usually a nick or a cut or abrasion or a scrape that you don't even see can be an entry point. But if you have a highly virulent strain, one that possesses many enzymes, as some of them can possess, you can have it make entry into the skin if you have a heavy concentration of organism that's transmitted.
Give us some examples now so people don't panic, but I do want the millions of people listening to this program right now to get a real understanding of what to look for in case they come down with this. What do they do?
Usually you would see the strain cause a slight reddening or discoloration of the skin. And it may not even prove to be initially painful, but then you can get what's called a crescendo pain. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it could be very painful, unusually painful for the size of infection. At that point, I would run to their doctor.
Run
their family
to
doctor,
the doctor. Don't walk, run.
And mention to him that you have this bad infection. You may even want to bring up the name staph. Is it a staph infection, the C. MRSA, that I've heard about? So that the initial therapy can be provided that is specific for it. There are certain drugs, one of which is a sulfa drug, that is the drug of choice. Another is a drug called clindamycin, but you have to be careful because some of the strains are resistant. Certainly, there is a tetracycline that is useful, doxycycline and specifically, but that has to be avoided in children under 9 because it interferes with bone development. And then there are some fancy drugs, very expensive drugs, that can be administered, like linozolid you might have read about, or daptomycin. Some of these have only parenteral, in other words, injection forms. And then, of course, there's the old standby vancomycin. Those are the drugs. More important is the practice of good personal hygiene and cleaning your cuts, covering your cuts. Very important.
Can you eradicate the staph, if you have it, by one of these antibiotic ointments or anything, like Neosporin or anything? Will that kill it right away?
The Neosporin has some drugs in it, bacitracin in particular, that would kill staph. The strains may actually die from these antibacterial hand soaps.
Really?
This
that's
is
a good
one
sign.
Application where You know, a lot of people talk against them.
Yes.
But in reality, this may be one application where they're particularly useful. It, you know, when you wash your wound, you wash with an antibacterial, and then you apply the antiseptic in a bandage. That would go a long way towards eliminating the organism before it gets to the point where you need therapy.
Does this staph infection, Philip, race through the body, and what may have been a simple cut, does it grow? I mean, does it just, you know, consume the entire body?
No, what it does, actually, starts to produce toxins and enzymes in the wound site. Even though it looks like nothing is happening, much like toxic shock syndrome, you have a tampon in place,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the organism that is being spread throughout the body. It's byproducts, which are toxic or over-toxins that are causing a cascade of reactions to occur in your body because those toxins gain access to the bloodstream. And that's where it can be spread throughout the body to different organs. It ties up the liver. It causes a backup of immune ability to respond to the toxin. And then the toxin starts to affect the organs like the kidneys and the lungs, etc.
Other than the obvious infection, do people get fevers? Do they just have this malaise feeling? What do they do?
No, you can get a fever. Staph are said to be very pyrogenic, meaning fever-inducing, and staph are usually pyogenic, meaning pus-inducing. They're both. So you get fever. You have an overt infection at some point in the lesion, but it really doesn't make the person feel that they're, you know, over the edge and they need hospitalization or they need immediate help until it's too late.